We love to see that. Amen. All right. How you guys doing? We ready? We got our Bibles? Yes? All right, let's see them. Come on. It's the Word of God. You know, I love what's been shared this morning. Whoa, I'm running hot. Am I able to go down? Or yeah, is that better? That's better? Okay, cool. I love what was shared this morning about what Ben shared. But you know, Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. Jesus only said what he heard his Father say. And Jesus lived in response to his dad, not in reaction to the devil. And we need to go after this, where we actually live in response to what the Father is saying and doing, as opposed to in reaction to the devil. Too many people live in reaction to the devil. And I'm just not interested in what he's doing. I'm interested in what he's doing. And I want to go after some things this morning. This will be new for some. This won't be new for others. And it's probably my favorite topic to go after, and it's one of the things that how many know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? All right, so that means the things that Jesus did back then, he can do still do, and wants to still do today. You all just agreed with me, okay? So, and the Bible says in Romans 10, I think it's verse 17, it says that. Oh, let's read it. Let's go there. So I quote it correctly. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No. Read your Bibles. What does it say? The word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of what Jesus has brought, what Jesus has established. Jesus is the truth about God. I've got really good news for you, church. Jesus defines truth, not your experience and lack thereof. He defines truth. So that means something can happen in your life that might not be great, but that circumstance doesn't define who God is. Jesus defines who God is. Do you know that 1/5 of the New Testament, 1/5, so that's a lot, is dedicated to Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons, and cleansing lepers. We're going to go after healing.
Come on.
This morning. We're going to go to Isaiah 53, and we're going to look at it in a moment, but there isn't a person in Scripture that came to Jesus that didn't get healed. It's epic.
Come on.
Who here has prayed for someone and you've seen them get healed? Put your hands up. Okay. Who here has prayed for someone and you haven't seen them get healed? All right. We're all good. When you prayed and they didn't get healed, we've got to be very careful that we don't create doctrines and theologies that aren't in the Scriptures just because we want to make ourselves feel okay. Who here has prayed for someone and they haven't got healed, right? We all have, okay? We have to at some point draw a line in the sand and say, all right, what does the Scripture say about this, so that I can go and spend time with my Father And so the next time there's a sick person, I can lay hands on them and they will recover. Because there isn't a person that Jesus prayed for that didn't get healed. I know this is challenging, but it's in your Bible. He is a good father, as we've been saying this morning. I remember, we're going to go to Isaiah 53 in a moment. We're going to do a bit of study. But I'm just offending you all, firstly. I remember talking with someone and we were having this discussion and they said, Liam, you know, I've prayed and they haven't gotten healed, so what are you saying? And I said, I don't know the reason why they're not getting healed, but I know the reason isn't on God's end. Yeah. And they began to argue with me and they said, Liam, you know, I would do anything, like I would, this child is sick, I would do anything to see them healed. I would even die so that they would be well. I went, oh yeah. That's it. That's what God did. That's what the Father did. He sent His Son to die so you would be well. By His stripes, we are healed. All right. Isaiah 53. Let's go there. Do you know that God is just better than you think He is? He's just good, extremely good. All right, Isaiah 53. Let's try and do this. Actually, you're all staying for lunch, so I've got an hour. Cool. Mighty Jacob. Oh, here, I've got notes. This is unheard of. 3,770 verses in the four Gospels, 727 of them relate specifically to healing of physical, mental, and dead raising. 727 verses out of 3,770 specifically refer to healing. And it's physical healing, dead raising, and casting out demons. What did He say in Matthew 10, verse 8? He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers. What did He say in Mark 16? These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will cast out demons and they will speak in other tongues. They will touch deadly snakes and they will not harm them. Okay, that's really good. All right. But sadly, so much of the church has said, now, let me just cover a few things. We're going to get to Isaiah 53. All right, let me cover a few things. Who here has had something in their life that has been an ailment or it's been something that has been very debilitating in some way, shape or form, right? It might be you've had migraines, you've had cancer, whatever, right? And it's been you fill in the blank. What I've seen happen is people go, oh, I've got fill in the blank, and through that, I've become closer to God and I've pressed into the Lord. So God has given me this. He's allowed it to happen in my life so that I would draw closer to the Lord. No. Yeah, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say to anyone, hey, this blindness I have given to you so that my Father in heaven can heal you. This cancer I've given to you so that you can draw closer to Him. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Why, all right, so the trial comes and you're like, oh, God, I'm not going to let this thing steal my lunch. I'm going to press into the Lord, but I'm going to continue to press in till that thing bends its knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. Right? Now, can you grow closer to the Lord through trials?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That doesn't define truth. Also, so we're clear, the worst thing we can do is go introspection and go, have I done something wrong? Have I done this? Is there something that I've done? Am I living in sickness because of my sin, because of my things that I put in place? John 9, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, who sinned, this man or his parents? What were they addressing? They were asking him, why is this man born blind? Was it his sin, right? Which I don't know how they theologically, because he was born that way, right? Then they said, or his parents. Was this a generational thing that came through his lineage? What does Jesus say? He says, neither. But watch what watch what God will do right now. And then he spits in mud and rubs it on his eyes. So let me ask you this. If God gave him the sickness and Jesus heals it, you have a house divided. That's good news. So that means we can rightly see Jesus. Okay, the man was born blind. Jesus spits in mud, picks it up, rubs it in the man's eyes. He would have been, because he was blind, people would have spat at him and thrown mud at him to curse him. Oh, I love this. And Jesus takes the very thing that the devil and society tried to tell him, you are no good, you've been born blind, you've probably sinned, maybe your parents. He takes spit and mud and rubs it in his eyes and goes, I'm going to redeem this guy. I'm going to heal this guy. I'm going to set this guy free, right? That's our Jesus. That's the King of Glory, right? So Jesus takes what the enemy meant for evil and he flips it for good, because that's what a good father does. The woman caught in adultery, the woman with the issue of blood, she touches the hem of his garment. That's a daddy-daughter date. All right, let's go to Isaiah 53. I want you to see this, because we have to go, all right, did the cross pay for this, provide healing? I want you to go to verse 11 first. Verse 11, Isaiah 53, verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see, and satisfied by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear the iniquities. Right? He shall bear the iniquities. All right, just pause. That word bear is the word nasa. N-A-S-A, NASA. It's the word NASA. So everyone in this room, if you're a believer, you would be like, Jesus on the cross bore our sin. We would all be like, amen, right? That there isn't a person on planet Earth that he didn't pay for sin. And that's where it says there, he bore our... Sorry, I've got that wrong. The word bear is sabal, which means he's borne their iniquities, right? Verse 12, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's the word NASA, right? So you got Sabal and NASA. Now if we go back to verse 4, go up to verse 4, I want you to see this. Surely he has borne our grief. So that word born is the word NASA, and carried is the word Sabal. It's the same word that he uses to illustrate and demonstrate and declare, hey, I'm bearing the sins of all. Then he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All right, this is what that means. Surely he has borne our griefs. That word griefs is the word hali, which means anxiety, disease, grief, and sickness. And he has carried sabaled our sorrows, which is the word makob, which is physical and mental pain and grief. So he dealt with the sin issue and he dealt with the sickness issue in the same brushstroke of redemption. Are you with me?
Yep.
All right. So that's Isaiah 53. That is prophesying about Jesus. It says, and by his stripes, what does it say? What did we just read? And by his wounds, we are healed. Right? Okay. What does 1 Peter 2:24 say? Who himself bore our sins and in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. One is we are healed, one is we were healed. Why? Because the stripes were already paid for. Okay. So, if we settle that Jesus has purchased sin on the cross, we have to go, all right, the scriptures say that he has also purchased sickness on the cross. It's a very strange thing for Jesus to ask us to heal sick people. He was like, oh yeah, but only some. Only if you have the right atmosphere and the right music playing. Only if they go through 100 lists of forgiveness prayers. Bad luck, Lazarus, you're dead. You can't do that. Lazarus had nothing to do with his resurrection. Can forgiveness, can repentance, can these things have a cause unblockages in our life? Yeah. Yes. But Jesus always brought about victory. Jesus always brought the answer. Religion looks for the problem, kingdom brings the solution. We're in this series of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is there. There's no sickness there. There's no pain there. Oh yeah, but Liam, I know. I've held babies that have died. I know. But I refuse to say God has caused it or allowed it. I've just drawn that line in the sand. And you say, oh, well, what do we do with that? Great question. Let's look at the scriptures. Because if you say your experience defines truth, then the moment you see someone healed, you have to change your theology. I prayed and they didn't get healed. Well, I prayed and they did. Okay. All right. Acts 10:38. Look at this. Oh, come on. Come on. I'm giving us. I love what Melissa Halser says. She's got a chronic disease, a chronic ailment. And if you don't know who Melissa Halser is, she co-wrote the song No Longer Slaves to Fear and Raise a Hallelujah and written hundreds and hundreds of songs. She has a chronic ailment, a chronic illness, and she says, I'm going for healing this side of the cross, but I will be healed that side of the cross as well. But I'm going for this side. You can't pray for sick people in heaven. True. You just can't. So it's a strange prayer that Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, if he didn't mean it. Okay, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power. All right. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. You have the Trinity in this verse. Awesome. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Why is this important? Because why does Jesus need to be anointed when he's God? Someone's pranking me. I feel like just answering it and letting them listen to my sermon. All right. Why does Jesus need to be anointed by God and with the Holy Spirit with power? Because he was a man. Yes, he's God, but he was a man. What does the next verse say? He went about, who? Jesus, doing good and healing all, what? All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Keep reading. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of Jews and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Luke is addressing the humanity of Jesus. We ate and drank with him after he rose. Yep. He still needed to eat and drink because he was man. And God raised him. Jesus didn't raise himself. God raised him. Okay, he's really honing in on this. So Jesus as a man, walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, is anointed by God to heal the sick who were all oppressed by the devil. So it wasn't like, well, God's given it, God's allowed it, God's caused it. It was no. All of them, in some way, there was an oppression from the devil. Come on. Come on. This is so important because there are Christians out there who are like, oh, and we've all been there, and we pray and we don't see this thing move. And then what we do is we change our theology based on our experience or lack thereof, because it's a loved one or it's a close person in our life, and things happen, or in our own personal life things don't shift, and it's like, I don't know the reason why it's always that way, but I do know through the scriptures, through truth, that it's not God. It's not God causing it. It's not God withholding it so that he'll teach you to be a better Christian. He didn't do that. All who were oppressed by the devil, every one of them that touched Jesus, that he came in contact with, God healed. And when we settle that, we draw a line in the sand and we go, oh, I prayed. How are you? Still the same. Okay, let's go again. Well, how are you? Still the same. Let's go again. I'm going to keep contending for breakthrough till that thing bends its knee, because there is a name above every sickness. There is a name above every demon. There is a name above every stronghold. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I hear my heart. Let me rephrase it. I care that you're not well, but I'm not interested in going devil hunting. I'm interested in getting the word of the Lord to see you healed. Because I don't want to be moved by the devil. I want to be moved by God. Jesus didn't say, well, if you pray through 150 prayers, then you'll be healed. He just said, heal the sick. Believe me at my word. You have a contract in your hand that tells you that you can do that. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 8. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. And then we're going to go to Matthew 17 and we'll finish with that. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Verse 1. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. See, there'd be people in here and in other churches and places that would say, well, yeah, Liam, I see Isaiah 53, that Jesus has paid for sickness, but it's not always his will to heal. Not always. I love the story of, if you've ever get a chance to listen to it, of the guy who, he has a throat condition. I think we've shown it here once before, and he cannot talk, and he's preaching out of Psalm 103. He can't talk properly, and he's a preacher, he's a pastor of a church, and for years he can't talk properly, and they get him up to preach, and they fully mic him up properly, and he's got, you know, a real problem, and he's real husky, and he, you know, sounds like this, and he's teaching out of Psalm 103, and it says, you know, forget not all his benefits, right? Forget not all his benefits. What does it say? Who forgives all your diseases? Heals all your diseases, right? And so he's teaching out of that, right? He forgets not all your benefit. If he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, and as he's teaching, his throat clears up and gets completely healed. Now, he was teaching that it's not always God's will to heal. And in that moment, he gets healed. It's awesome. You can listen to it on YouTube. It is phenomenal. That is the kindness of God. That is the goodness of a father that says, yeah, nice try. Just watch what I'm going to do. Oh. And he just stops and he's like, oh, I don't know what to say right now. He's crying. Right. So here he says, if it's your will, and the word is theolo, which means... just let them know I'm busy, okay? Siri. I should test this. Hey, Siri. Oh, mine's not going off. Hey, Siri, is it the will of God? No. All right. Theolo. Oh, let me. I've actually got notes. I very rarely have notes, but I've got notes on this because I've written a bunch of stuff on this. Yeah, righto, Siri. Quiet. Hush, child. Oh, that's good. We can have a laugh. The word will means I will always do it because it is my intense desire and longing to act on my nature, which is to deliver. Wow. All right. Go to Matthew 17. Can I just say, please don't leave this place and go, Liam's saying that I'm sick because of XYZ. That's not what I'm saying. Oh, I haven't had enough faith. I haven't done this. I haven't. The moment you put I into the equation, you've leveled off at the goodness of God. I don't know the reasons. We're going to pray for people in a moment. But I know this. If I gave my children cancer to teach them a lesson, I'd be put away for child abuse. I broke their arm to say, hey, you need to draw closer to me because I'm such a good father. Snap. But I'm going to heal you. I would be like, run. Hebrews, it says that in the last days you've heard God through the prophets, but in these days it's through my son. Colossians 1:15 says he's the exact imprint of the nature of God. He's the visible image of the invisible God. John 14, he says, show us the Father. Jesus says, how long have you been with me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay, that's good. That means we have a standard that we can follow. It's not my experience. It's not Liam. It's not my most popular teacher that I listen to on YouTube. It's Jesus. He defines truth. Okay, Matthew 17. Go to verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, kneeling before him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Just stop. You're the disciples. You've just seen lots and lots of people healed. You've come back to Jesus. Jesus says, oh man, I'm so well done. I just watched as Satan fell like lightning. They said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were just shocked. And he's like, wow, so good. Then they have this guy whose boy has seizures, has epilepsy, and they're like, we prayed and nothing happened. Imagine if the story doesn't go on and they start to create a theology around what didn't happen. Oh, maybe there's some secret sin in that boy's life. Yeah, that's probably it. Because we've seen, like, we're the disciples of Jesus. Maybe it's not God's will. Maybe it's his timing. Maybe God's got some things in this young boy's life that just need to just shift before he sees the breakthrough. And, you know, God knows. And so, yeah, that's what it'll be. Maybe there's just a... he needs to go through a generational cleansing course, I think, before that. Yeah, that's definitely what it is. Come on, we've all said this. I know I'm being strong, but... Oh, this good news, it goes on. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation. Meek and mild, Jesus, thanks for the very tame words that you've just given us. All right, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Oh. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. All right. We all raised our hands, our feet, our little toes, everything, when we've said we've prayed for people and we haven't seen them healed. So what do we do in those moments? We go to Jesus privately. It's a good starting point. Don't create a theology about what didn't happen. Go to Jesus. Okay. Why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. That word faith is the word in opposition to what God wants to do. Okay? You can look it up. For truly I say to you, if you have faith, like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Why couldn't we cast the demon out, God? Jesus? Because of your little faith. But if you have little faith, anyone else ever found this one weird? No, I have. Why not, Jesus? Because of your little faith. But if you have little faith, the size of a mustard seed, so what's the other word faith there? It's the word pisito. I have this beautiful app on my phone, which and on my iPad, which I recommend, Olive Tree Bible, and I've got Strong's Concordance at the touch of a hand of my fingers, right? And I can go to any verse, and I can click on it, and it can tell me the Strong's Concordance. Aren't you so grateful that people died and fought to keep the Bible preserved as pure as it can be? So this is what the word persitus means. Faith, assurance, conviction of the truth, anything, believe in the New Testament, of a conviction of belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with including the idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith. Isaiah 53 on the cross, it's his will always to heal. And here he says, if you have faith, you will see this mountain move from there to here. Right? In some translations, there is the word in brackets or in italics, it says, but this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. It's not in the original context. They added it in many years later. They even would say that the originals only had the word, this kind only comes out through prayer. Fasting was added in much, much later. All right, that's, you can just look that up yourself, right? Because did Jesus pray and fast in that moment? No. Well, he prayed, but he didn't fast. Faith moves mountains, not fasting. So what do we do when it doesn't happen? Well, let me just say this. I know lots of people, they're like, I'm just disappointed. I've prayed 100 times. I haven't seen it change. Let's pray again. What have you got to lose? You're already in that position. Not praying, you'll probably still be in that position. Come on. Okay, what do we do? I prayed again and it didn't happen. Okay, we go to Jesus. We say, Jesus, I know it's your desire and your will for this thing to bend. Show me clearly. Show me clearly who you are. So that help my unbelief. Help the areas of my life that I'm not seeing clearly. So that I can lay hands on the sick and I can see them recover. Not for my glory, but because you paid for this on the cross. And I don't go into introspection. I don't go into, well, there's got to be something wrong with me and there's got to be something wrong with that person. Because, well, it's definitely not me. Because, it's, you know, like, I have 100% faith. No, faith moves the mountain. I've settled this. I've prayed for loved ones and seen them die. We have to settle this. We have to draw a line in the sand and say, it's not God. There is a devil. There is sickness and demonic strongholds in our world. And it's not him. He paid for this on the cross. And I know the stories in this room. I know the stories. I know there are people in this room who have lost loved ones. I know. I know there are people in this room who have illnesses and diseases that if they don't get healed. But guess what? Just saying, oh, well, maybe it's God's will. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's... No, we have to have a place of let's fight this thing. Let's grab the truth of who Jesus is and let's go, let's get this thing on. Because my Bible says that I can lay hands on sick people and they will recover. And so I refuse this side of the cross to bend my knee to my experience or my lack of experience, because I have a Father in heaven who is extremely good, and every person that Jesus came to was healed. And he's the standard. I might suck at it, but I don't have a right to change the agenda based on my experience or lack thereof. He's the standard that I'm following. He's the only one worth following. He's the only one worth going after this for, because his name is above every disease, every demonic stronghold, every sickness. And my Bible tells me that he was anointed by God, and every disease that he healed was because of the demonic stronghold that was in their life. Acts 10:38, he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Okay, that person isn't a demon. They're not a demon, but a stronghold has gripped them somehow. Whatever, I don't care how that happened. That thing has to go, because he taught me on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. If I purchase a credit card, it's got my name on it, and I give it to my kids, and I say, there's unlimited resources and power on this credit card. Unlimited. You can go and tap and go as you please. I purchased it. I paid for it, Dad's name's on the card, but I've given it to my kids. What did he say in Acts 2? In Acts 1, he says, wait in Jerusalem so you will receive power from on high. You've been given the authority. What did he say in Matthew 28? Go into all the world, teach them everything I've taught you. What did he teach his disciples to do? 1/5 of the Bible, we just talked about it. Heal the sick. Are you alive?
Yeah.
Okay. People say, oh, Liam, what about Job? Oh, I'm not a disciple of Job. Job's in the Old Testament, but I'm a disciple of Jesus. What about Paul's thorn in his flesh, Liam? Do you know what that was? Paul's thorn in his flesh was not sickness. It was persecution. We would say it's a pain in the... It's 4 times in the Old Testament that the word thorn in the flesh is used, and it's always referring to an individual or a group of people that were pestering people. Always. All right, this is what we're going to do. I could tell you lots of stories of failure, and I could tell you lots of stories of success. I know the heart of the Father is to see people healed, because that's what my Bible says. I don't need your faith. I have faith enough in the room right now. You might be like, that's arrogance, Liam. No, it's just I've just got a lot of confidence in my Father. I've seen too much. The one thing I don't want to do is be like, well, let's just never talk about this, because, you know, just people don't want to, you know, it's challenging. So let's just leave it. Let's just be quiet about it. Let's just leave people where they're at. No, I'm going for this. Because I want a place in Melbourne where sick people can come and they can find believing believers who believe, that will say, hey, you've got a problem. I know a guy. I know a guy. I know a God who told me I can lay hands on sick people and I can see them healed. I want a place where there are believing believers that will touch hands on sick people in their shopping centres, and demons will leave and sicknesses will just vanish away, and cancer will dissolve and bodies will realign and things and just things that have been plaguing people for years and years will just dissolve because heaven has come a little bit closer because Christ in them is the hope of glory and they're leaking Jesus out everywhere that they go. Because there are people with, like the woman with the issue of blood, who they've gone to every medical doctor, they've gone to everything, and they do not know why. But I know a guy who can change that. So I want to pray for two groups of people. If I can maybe have someone on keys to just help the medicine go down a little easier for people. We're going to pray for people who you cannot see or test that you need to go to a doctor. You need to go back to a doctor. You need, it might be cancer, it might be something severe. It might be migraines, but you don't have one right now. Whatever, you guys know. And we're going to do this really quick. So that'll be one group of people and we're going to pray for them in a second. And then we're going to pray for people who you can test things right now. And we just got to be okay with this because often, Dean says this often, he says people often pray, oh, be healed. And then they run off and never ask, how you doing? Did it change? We've just got to be okay with that. Because the reality is often we're afraid that it's not going to work. Be healed. Hope I never have to talk to them again. Come on. Right? We're afraid as opposed to, hey, be healed. How is it? No difference. Okay, let's go again. How is it? Jesus prayed twice for someone. The Son of Glory prayed twice. I love Robbie Dawkins. He says we should at least get 7 shots at it if Jesus prayed. We cannot go, be healed. How is it? I didn't get healed. Oh, okay. Must be secret sin. Can't be me. It's got to be him. Maybe God. Oh, God's allowing this, brother. God's given it to you. God's caused it. And God bless you. Come on. It's not in your Bible. It's not in there. Jesus, why? Why didn't I see the breakthrough? Oh, Liam, let me take you. Let me show you clearly. Let me show you what faith looks like. Oh, here you go. Here's the boy. And I heal him. Okay, Jesus, I need to see that clearly. Because people aren't impressed with Liam, Jesus. They're not impressed with my prayers. They're impressed with your presence that heals. So please show me clearly, God. Please give me a bunch of people who see you rightly so that the sickness that is plaguing our world would bend its knee to the name that is above every name. Jesus, I need to see you rightly. I have to see you rightly, and every failure that I've ever had is yours, God. Every failure that I've come to you and we haven't seen the breakthrough, it's all yours because that burden's too hard for me to follow, to carry, God. But God, show me clearly who you are so that the next time I lay the hands on them, power will flow through my body and they will be healed, they will be set free, they will be delivered because you said by your stripes we are healed. I'm taking your covenant promise, God, and I am praying and I am contending for heaven to come to this world. I am praying and believing you, Jesus, that you said I can lay hands on the sick in Mark 16 and they will recover. So please, God, show me clearly. Show me clearly who you are so I can represent you well Because you said, greater works will you do when I go to be with the Father. And I'm not settling for my experience. I'm settling for the truth of who you are, because this world needs you. They need your blood. They need your healing power. They need your deliverance. They need your grace upon their life, Jesus. So possess me. Possess me. That's the prayer that I pray. I want you to stand. I know I've preached a strong word. I don't apologize. I love you. I love you. I want to see people well. And if I've offended you, Dean at welcometosanctuary.org. I'm just joking. I'm happy to chat it through. I'm happy to have discussions. All right. If you have a sickness in your body that you can't test right now, just raise your hand real quick. I know we've gone way over time, but we're all staying for lunch. All right, if you're around them, just 30 seconds, ask them if they don't mind telling you what it is. All right, just pray. Just pray.